When I'm talking about a perfect day, I'm talking about work. And your number one investment for a long time is most likely going to be your earned income. And your earned income is your job, it's your business that you're running. So you better love what you're doing, truly. And so if you can create your perfect work day, your perfect day going to work, your job, or running your company, how incredible is that?
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
I am doing great. I've been arguing with auto insurance company all day.
Oh,
that's what I've been doing.
That sounds like so much fun.
Insurance companies are your best friend until they have to pay out. So, and it's interesting how they go from a client's best friend to they start becoming difficult. They'll meet their contract requirements. Sometimes they always amaze me how well they can be on a claim, how well they can perform. And sometimes, and these are all good, they're all good insurance companies, so I'm kind of giving them a hard time. But then, you know, a few too many claims come in. And I will do a whole podcast on what how auto and home insurance works, and more importantly, how it does not work.
Why don't we just do that now?
No, we're all not. Right. We're doing, I promise to do the perfect day with you, which is your sweet spot. So that, and so I'm going to be the guinea pig on that one. But one of these days, add that to the to-do list on podcast, because auto and home insurance, I do it for select clients. And it is so, now I'll educate everyone on it, how to write it. Well, by the way, I'm not saying how to write it. I just educate people and they can make the right decision on how they want to be covered. And so I will do a whole podcast on that. And I've been asking a guest who I really admire to come on, who's been in the property and casualty side, the auto and home insurance side, commercial insurance for over 3 decades. So, cause he just loves insurance and auto and home insurance. And I'd love to have him come on and talk about why it's so important. And it is, I mean, we spend so much time trying to generate wealth and extra income, and a simple mistake, a simple accident, can destroy the rest of your future financially. It's amazing what can happen. So we'll talk about it today. And we're going to talk about the perfect day / perfect week, because I promised I'd talk about it on the podcast. And somehow I think you conned me into that. That's okay. That's okay. So let me bring up one piece on this. And so let me tell you what I was trying to do. And I spent a lot of, believe it or not, I thought it'd just be like a 15-minute, 30-minute exercise, Tammy. And so I pulled out some old notes from a couple years ago. It's called Your Perfect Day. And I'll read this part because it was really fascinating to me. And then I'll let you go from there. And I can tell whatever questions you have, I can tell you what I kind of wrote out and put some things out. And the reason why, by the way, the perfect day, perfect week, super important to me. And I've talked about this on previous podcasts, I am sure. It's important for you to enjoy. When I'm talking about a perfect day, I'm talking about work. And your number one investment for a long time is most likely going to be your earned income, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your earned income is your job, it's your business that you're running, or it's your job during the day and the business you run at night, you know, some moonlight money, if that's the right word, you know, moonlighting.
I like it.
You better love what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
truly. And then to get paid, do what you love to do, phenomenal. And so I've talked about how I love engineering, and I can talk about my old perfect day with that. And I'll talk about what I see as my perfect day or what I'm struggling with, because you'll see a lot of, you know, I try to be really scripted. I was going to have everything perfect for this. I spent a fair amount of time this weekend and this morning struggling, and around later on today struggling. I'm like, geez Louise, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait. We'll record this. Everyone can learn from me of what not to do on how to create your perfect day. And I'll let Tammy ask and guide and ask questions. So I think this will be a fun podcast. And if we run out of time, we'll just do another one on it to continue it. But the reason why I think this is so important when it comes to the Engineer Finance podcast is that your earned income, you better love and be proud of what you're doing. Enjoy it. Yeah. Right? And I know that sounds so woo-hoo, but I really mean this. I mean, I've always taken a job for the knowledge. Now, correction, I actually got in the insurance and the financial industry to survive. It was actually the first time in my life it was for the money. back in end of 08, 09. But then, you know, leaving engineering full time to run, I still maintain my engineering licenses, but because I love engineering, but running my finance and insurance company full time has created more joy for me helping families and businesses than the joy I got spiritually out of engineering, as much as I love designing and troubleshooting. So, but this is what the perfect day, perfect week to me is why it's so important and why I want to talk about on this podcast is how you can maybe implement it for your company or for the job you have within a company and create your kind of your perfect work day. Does that sound good, Tammy?
Yeah, it sounds great. And I appreciate your willingness to let us kind of get a bird's eye view of yours into the inner workings of Ken Green's perfect day and perfect week, because what you've experienced is exactly what people should expect, that it's not easy, that you can't get it done in 15 minutes, and that it's going to feel like you're turning yourself inside out, but it's worth it when it comes to your perfect day.
I don't mean this in a negative way, this foo-foo stuff. I mean, I really, jumping from cloud to cloud, I so struggle with this stuff. At the same time, I realize how empowering, if you can really visualize, like I always say, begin with the end in mind. And so when I'm designing things, I always look at extremes. I look at what the boundary conditions are. I look at what I have to design within. And so I'm trying to explain that with my wife working on what we're going to be doing. Yeah, I get to play around with engineering on our property and remodeling and things we're going to do. And so, but there are constraints and we've got to design within those. I mean, you got to keep the city happy, right? They have codes, they have rules. And so begin with the end in mind. And I think what this perfect day is, like if you have this goal out there or this visualization of what would be a fulfilling day, how empowering. Same time I'm diving through these exercises, I'm like, oh my gosh, shoot me. No, I just want to work. I don't want to this foo-foo stuff. So can I give you like read out loud what one of these little cheat sheets?
Yeah.
And I've tried to dive into this years ago because I did. That's the whole reason why I created this company is, and I know my ideal. I know my ideal clients. I know the people I want to communicate and help with. And I'll dive into that because I think it's an important part of the perfect day. So one of the questions, so here's some of the questions. I'll read these real quick. And you better keep a timer on me because I have a feeling I'll really full time on this one and bore everyone to death. Or this might be one of everyone's favorites, one of the best podcasts out there. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah. I tell you, it's a very uncomfortable zone for me talking about this stuff. And so that's probably why it's even more important to share.
Yeah.
How does your day begin? What does your house look like? Where do you live? What time do you wake up? What are you whoever wrote this has poor grammar. Oh, which actually happens to be a copywriter.
Oh, no.
That's even more funny. So don't you have to have good grammar to write this? Well, grammar is not so important. Well, yeah, it is. What will you have for breakfast, right? These are some of the questions. And so you want to hear my randomness on this?
Yes,
it's all over the place. And because I've re-edited this thing 3-4 times at least, right? So, but as listeners know, I live in Midtown Reno, Nevada. So I wake up in my home in Reno, Nevada, around 5 a.m. I'm an early bird for me. Although I know people get up even earlier than that, which is crazy to me. But I wake up around 5 a.m. feeling refreshed, excited, and grateful about my day ahead. I drink coffee, maybe with a little cream. Do you like that? Is that pretty good?
Yep.
All right,
so
good.
So far, so good.
All right, so far. So I get one checkbox. I drink coffee, maybe with a little cream, jump in the hot tub. If I'm feeling a little achy, I'll go in the hot tub. Sit in there for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, relax, drink my coffee. I should probably have a smart brain water with me too. By the way, I'm not doing this day to day. This is my perfect day. This is my dream. Mm-hmm. My dream day, my perfect, or, you know, whatever, dream, perfect day. You correct me where my thinking is wrong. But so go in the hot tub, 10, 15 minutes, relax, wake up my body, you know, enjoy. I really enjoy our backyard. It's got a lot of work to go, but I enjoy it, right? I enjoy the stuff I've built for out there. I enjoy our perennial garden, and I just love the mornings, really do. And so go back, go to the bathroom for a few minutes, get ready, put on my training clothes, review my workout for the morning, and then put on some Go Get It Done music, right?
Nice.
Get the music going in my headset, and then go down into it's a very small little workout room in our basement, real low ceiling, so that you're kind of limited, but that's just my perfect day for now. And I also, by the way, it can evolve, right?
Absolutely. And it should.
So this is my perfect day based on certain circumstances now. One of these days, I would love, always wanted to have my own little gym, by the way, dream-wise, not for profit, just as a build this little fun gym in where everyone had their own little card, and it was for select clients, like people that just they can go anytime they want to train.
Yeah.
But they have to have good hygiene, treat things, put weights around. I'm not going to babysit anyone, but they all have this. And so you have this great workout club for people who want to be a part of. But just so it breaks even, that's been a dream of mine forever, forever. But that's for now, it's just my little workout. And keep it limited, right? Where you don't have these huge lines. It's one of the big things that would frustrate me is you get there real early in the gym and it's still crowded now. It's crowded all the time. It's like, gosh, these gyms are smart. They just oversell. But a workout to go down below, workout, stretch, do this about a 45-minute routine. That's it, 30 to 45 minutes. Then I'm done. Oh, and by the way, this workout, I'm all over the place. Jeez Louise. Okay. I skipped a few pieces. And this is what I do now. At 5:30, should I stop for a second and take a breather?
Fine.
Okay. So 5:30 in the morning, I always talk about I'm not anti-Wall Street. I just say I'm anti-buy and hold. The way it's done by the majority, I just don't think it's people's best interest. But I do love Wall Street. And so one thing I'll do, about 5:30 in the morning, I like to jump on and see what the future markets are doing. I want to see, and I'll move it down to what'd you call them? Green and red things? Is that what you called them?
You call them green and red candlesticks.
They're candlesticks. That's right. I thought you called it something.
Oh, fun. I probably did really? Because I didn't remember the candlesticks. So yeah, I probably said thingies.
Yeah, you said green or red thingies or something. I was laughing so hard. I was like, that's awesome. But yeah, I'll break it down to a 5-minute chart. Well, daily, I'll see daily. I like to see historically as occurred, but then I'll look at the 5-minute charts, candles, and I like just to see, it's like my high in the morning. I just like to see what the market's up to. You know, what's 5:30 a.m. And now this is Pacific daylight time right now. So 5:30 a.m., not talking East Coast time. It's obviously add 3 hours to it. But 5:30 to 6 a.m., I just kind of like getting a feel of what might occur when the market opens at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time, which would be 9:30 East Coast time. And, but anyways, this was my fun. And so anyway, so 5:30, you know, look at what might is ahead of me for the day. What I got scheduled. It's nice. A lot of people auto schedule in my calendar to talk with me. And so it kind of defines what my day is going to be when I don't even know the night before. And so I always will check, look at the email, look at my calendar. And then, but then at 6 a.m. go down to the gym, right? Go to my little basement down below and do my routine. You know, that's a perfect day. And then 6:45, up, shower, get dressed, get ready. And then at 7 a.m., right, when I'm all dressed and ready to go, I wake up my little man, Maximus, who's a little bit over 2 years old. And that is like the highlight of my life, to see my little buddy just so joyful and happy to start his day. So he's a morning guy like me, his dad. And so that just makes me so happy. That makes my day.
Yeah.
And so pick up my little guy, take him, still learning to get him potty trained. My mom, by the way, swears I was potty trained a year old, which I find amazing. I was like, really? My guy's like 2 years old. I thought for sure I'd have him dialed in by now, but it's kind of a struggle. Get him dressed, go get him breakfast. And of course, mom comes to say hi to him too. And so we get him ready, and he has his breakfast. And so this is all part of my perfect day in the morning. And then once he's eating, watching his cartoons, having breakfast, then I'll go back into the home office. And then I got about another 40 to about 8 a.m. I got that window to look at a few more emails, tackle a few projects, you know, like a 30, 45, something I can get done within 45 minutes, completed, done, and done well, undistracted. And I'll probably look at I sound distracted, but I got 3 screens. So I'll probably look at the markets while I'm doing something too. I don't just stare at it, you know, like, oh my gosh, exhausting. But I do dedicate about 15 minutes a day just to seeing what the markets are doing, right? Mm-hmm. And, but then 8 a.m., take my little guy. So for the longest time, it's really important to me to have my son with me as long as possible. And so Monday and Friday, I work out of my home office. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, would see clients at the downtown office during the day.
So you had already implemented things to create your day more perfect.
Yeah, I did implement those. But now my son's turned 2. We really wanted him. My wife and I discussed. I was really afraid But we actually take them to this little great daycare in Reno, and it's called the Little Golden. I'm probably getting their name wrong, but the Little Golden Goose.
Nice.
And so the owners, the ladies, they're just all super nice. And so my little guy loves going to the daycare.
Nice.
He loves, and it's great because when I pick him up, which is the other highlight of my day, I don't get to do it every day. Mom gets to as well. But we take him Monday through Thursday, and dropping him off around 8, he's just like this. They just say he's such an angel. And I watch him. It's amazing. Like, he just loves playing. He loves learning. He sits perfectly at the front when I go to pick him up. He's just so fascinated with the books. Of course, once I pick him up, runs up to daddy, take him home. And then he turns a little monster, right? He's hungry, and he knows how to manipulate me. It's like, what the heck? They say he's an angel. He gets home, and he's a little monster. But so just going, just anyway, he's, but that's my morning routine. Get into the office, 8:30, 8:45 after dropping him off. I take my time. I enjoy watching his behavior a little bit when I drop him off, so he's interacting with everyone. And then get to the office, get everything dialed in, and then 8:39, tackle some more emails. Little mini tasks from 8:30 to 9:15. Then I have what's called a scrum meeting. Hmm. And people who are listening to programmers. All a scrum meeting is, it's called scrum. I mean, software programming has been doing it for a long, long time. And I won't dive into it but too much. Essentially, though, it is a 15-minute meeting with my executive assistant where we're saying, okay, what are we going to tackle today? What do we have to get done? And so my whole goal for my clients is to get it done right and efficiently to elevate others. That is our whole goal all day long.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And when you take the most boring topic in the world, insurance, and I would say probably the second most boring topic in the world. Well, money's not. Finances is, it is, well, it can be. It can be very boring to people, but more of it allows you to do more things. And that's obviously why I have this whole podcast and try to make it fun and talk about all my mistakes so people can learn from it and the good things that I do. But yeah, get it done right and efficiently to elevate others. And so we'll have that scrum meeting at 9:15, 9:30. Okay, where are we at? What do we have to get done? What needs to be tweaked? And then just what do we have to do? You know, and oh, that's your hot potato. That's your hot potato. And we just do whatever we can to get it done as right and efficiently as possible. And then that's the game. And then 9:30, we're off to the races.
I think what you've done really well, and you want to think, I think the best analogy for this is to kind of think like a meat grinder. It's a little morbid, but think of a meat grinder, you know, something that makes sausage links or whatever. And you think about all the stuff that you put in at the top, and it acts a little bit like a funnel. And then the good stuff comes out at the bottom, the already packaged perfect day. So Ken has done a really good job of kind of processing all of the items that would be in his perfect day and prioritizing them and figuring out, and that's what he's doing now, figuring out what can I implement now, what needs to be implemented later, and to his point, circumstances may change, which might change the perfect day. But when I started working with Ken on this topic, there were so many things, right, Ken? So many different components and different ideas of a perfect day. Does he take a week off a month? Does he take off a day a week? Does he take off, a month a year? There were all these ideas just kind of swirling around in his head. So the reason why
still Ken, are swirling around, right?
The reason why Ken detests this activity so much, even though he believes in the sausage, the outcome, is because it's hard to take a swirling cacophony and make sense out of it. But I think even you would agree, Ken, that just doing a little bit of work so far has caused it to be a little bit clearer, at least.
Oh, definitely clearer. I mean, I know just in the past, and so I. When I used to travel to work, in previous engineering companies, I didn't like the idea as much as I loved what I was doing work-wise and learning. And there's days you struggle because, you know, people had this new project and a lot of engineers went, who wants this project? And it's like, it looked like a lot of work. And most engineers put their hands down and I'd raise my hand and like, oh, that's great. And then you always get in over my head, but boy, did it make me grow. Learning, right?
Right. Yep.
So I probably felt smart. I would get my hand down and do what I knew and, instead of pushing it. But it made me grow. And but anyway, I used to take always would take a different route to work. Nice. Still show up on the same time. I just like the idea of mixing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing it up.
Awesome.
And so the part, I guess, in a way I struggle with is the systematic thinking mm-hmm. of every day is like, it almost, in a way, it feels constraining. It's like this, and this. And that's just the morning routine. I even started with what happens after 9:30 a.m.
Right.
But so yeah, that's a part I've struggled with, and the fact that I like the idea of things being dynamic. But what I do like about this is kind of a goal, isn't it? This is a goal for a perfect day,
mm-hmm.
and then how do we implement it? And so what's helped me is like wow, I'm really grinding through this. But I'd rather shoot for this than an unperfect day where you're frustrated with different regulatory entities, you're frustrated with attorneys, you're frustrated with like all this minutia that can be thrown at you, right?
Yep.
And so what I do like about this, as I'm talking out loud now, boy, I really was trying to get this scripted. I wanted to have everything perfect, right, for this podcast. And but now everyone gets to hear my struggles on this. But what I do like about it is that by envisioning, please tell me the Albert Einstein quote because I'm going to ruin it. But I thought this was really fascinating. You've brought it to me a few times in the past. And why don't you share it with everyone listening on this podcast about imagination?
Yes, it's a great quote. It says, your imagination is a preview of life's coming attractions.
You used to say that a few times to me, like, whatever.
So good to know that now.
Oh, no, I didn't know. I appreciated it, but for some reason, it didn't really, like, I appreciated it, but I didn't really appreciate it till, I mean, I like, on the weekend, I Googled it. Okay, what's Einstein's quote? I think there's a fun website out there. I think it's called Brainy Quotes.
Yes.
I love that website. And so, man, this is such brilliant minds. Mm-hmm. And so Brainy Quotes had that. And I was like, that's great. And so maybe here's my interpretation. You tell me if I got it wrong, Tammy. But I was like, well, I mean, if you can't imagine, if you can't think, it's not going to happen.
So true.
And so what I like is, okay, now I'm imagining, I can think it. Now, I can equate this to, I love being out in the water. You guys have heard, if you've listened to all my podcasts, the raft phenomenon, how I enjoy being out at Lake Tahoe. It's something I enjoy for my family. It's something I enjoy sharing with friends and clients, going out on the boat, right? And so I can't believe this, but this was back in 2006. I bought a 24/7 Malibu wake sitter. And people who ski and water ski, it's a big ski boat. It's not that big of a boat. See how these boats out there are huge. This is a big ski boat. But I had to have the end in mind. And so for me to design, because I designed, it's their boat, but you get to pick all these options, right? What size engine, what size prop, all these things, colors, layout. And so what I did to design what was the perfect boat for me at the time in 06, I laid it out. But then I got three brothers. I wanted all their opinions on it, right? This is the family boat. My mom and dad, I have different styles than them, but I still wanted their opinion on it, right? So then my now wife, but girlfriend at the time, right, Danielle, wanted her opinion. She's like, look at me. I said, what do you want my opinion for? I got everyone's opinion on it. And based upon all this feedback, mm-hmm. I designed the perfect boat. And so that imagination, I would not have had the perfect boat. Still have that boat because, holy cow, those things are expensive to replace. And I baby this thing. Matter of fact, gets ready to go in hopefully in a couple weeks out in the water. But anyway, imagining what was going to be the perfect boat and laying it all out and getting all this feedback, now we got the perfect boat. It's right. Such a joy. Yep. Now, by the way, boats, not a smart investment strategy. This is an expense. This is my treat. You know, so money goes to this, and it was... They're not cheap, that's for sure. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but that kind of helped me with the imagination and the Albert Einstein quote that you've brought up over and over again. It didn't really sink in for me, and so I was really trying to do my homework this weekend on the perfect day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just staring at paper Saturday and Sunday morning, and then this morning, like, the perfect day does not exist. I'm like saying that to my wife this morning. I was like, wait a minute, no, I got to get this laid out. So. But that kind of thing, and in the past, my perfect day was working out in the afternoon, but it was perfect for that type of work environment. But now, for me, because part of my perfect day is I want to see what's reasonable, as many clients and prospective clients I can, Monday through Thursday. And Friday, part of my perfect week is half-day Fridays. I'm trying to earn the right to have half day Fridays. One of these days I'll get it to 3-day. Mm-hmm. And then maybe if I'm really ambitious and I've helped out enough people, I'll make it a 4-day, Tammy, as part of my perfect week. And then just see clients Tuesday through Thursday. But I hope that all helps. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, I really appreciate that Albert Einstein quote, because by the very nature of imagining it, I already see it occurring. Yep. On that piece.
Yep. And your example with your boat was perfect, because that would be my recommendation for people who feel like they're in your same boat, where they're just kind of spinning with all the possibilities and they're dreading having to sit down and kind of write it out. But when you just keep a list, an ongoing list next to your desk. And every time you come up with another idea for a perfect day or perfect week, just write it down. And then when you feel like you've got them all down, then start going through and prioritizing. Which ones do I want to implement now? And I think Ken's last point is a dicey one. And he said something, at some point, I want to earn the right to take off, to have a part day on Friday. So that it's an interesting conundrum, because many people feel like that point never arrives. And so they never give themselves the ability to take a day off or go buy a boat or whatever. When in actuality, if they were to allow themselves that and recognize that they deserve that now, then they can actually create more value, because they've given themselves the blessing, if you will, to go out and feed themselves by time off and a boat or whatever it is that feeds you.
Yeah, explain that dicey one. How much more time do we have on this podcast? Because it's finally getting really, really interesting to me. So the dicey part, it was interesting when we started it. I was just terrified. Now I'm like more comfortable discussing with everyone. But the dicey part, what do you mean by that? Like the dicey part?
Well, it's dicey because when you are so close to your own situation, it's hard for you to recognize what you deserve and what you don't deserve. And people, so I'm referring to your comment that, you know, hopefully at some point I will have earned the right to take a part day off on Friday. And, you know, some people hearing that may be laughing like, well, of course you've earned the right. But it's so much easier to look at someone else and say, you totally deserve to take part day on Friday. And knowing you like I do, I would absolutely say you deserve to take a part day on Friday. But it doesn't matter if all of us listening to you tell you that you've earned the right. You've got to feel like you've earned the right. And it's really hard for people to look at their own value and recognize, yeah, I'm worth this. That's the dicey part.
I could tell you, per your suggestion, not on a podcast, but you and I talking, you working with through your blueprint process, I finally took a full day off a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, and? I did not turn on that computer.
Right.
Super nice. Actually, I think Memorial Day week, and I did it for a whole 2 days. Mm-hmm. Did not turn on the computer.
Nice.
So it was nice having that off time. As much as I love what I do day to day, it's nice flipping off the switch and then opening my mind to everything else that's out there.
Right? So talk to people about the benefit of that, because I think a lot of people would say that's, you know, it's there's no gain. There's no gain. When you take time off, you're spoiling yourself, you're resting, you're relaxing, you're rejuvenating, but there's actually not an equivalent return.
All my best ideas come from my best ideas, right? I mean, coming like designing things and doing things in the financial space, that's a lot of those things are, I just already understand it. They're not new imagination. I mean, I'm fixing things or I'm designing what's a perfect scenario, but like new creative ideas or different approaches. Some of my great pearls of wisdom that pop in my brain from somewhere are on my day off. Or when I take I will take a pretty close to a full week or full week off, 4th of July week. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much, I'm off. You know, I am off and hanging out, relaxing. If we're out in the water, on the boat, typically up at Lake Tahoe, and I'll invite people to come up and my coolest, funnest ideas usually pop in then when I'm not working, right? Yeah. You're not kind of in that grind in this consistent think mode. Yep. And so that's where I think it can be very valuable. And that's something that's hard to measure, but a lot of great ideas come probably say my best ideas come on my days off.
Yep. Whereas if you were just to keep on keeping on, which unfortunately is really applauded in our American society, then you never have that space with which your mind can breathe and come up with even better ideas. And I know that's a little foo-foo, but yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah, I would argue, you look at, we're an incredibly hardworking nation.
Yes.
We're an incredibly hardworking nation. And so, and I've always asked the question, even though it's hard for me not to be a workaholic, you know, would we all be so bad if everyone in this country agreed, we're only going to work Monday through Thursday, mm-hmm. and everyone agreed to it, would it really make that much of a difference? Like we'd probably enjoy lives more, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm, things yeah. more probably.
We'd probably be more productive
too. Instead of working every day.
Yep.
but anyway, that was we're probably gone overtime, but that was my perfect day of what I've been stabbing at. And I liked your idea with a list where you just say, just write down all these things. So maybe you just have this whole cluster of things you throw out and then you start nailing down, okay, this is what's super important to me. And since my son was born, I mean, for those 2 years and a month prior to my son being born, I stopped doing the workout in the morning. I would do my workout, then head into work for engineering, then see select clients at night on the financial space. So if I didn't get my workout done in the morning, it wasn't occurring. But that was a really good routine, and I enjoy. It wasn't a grind. It was productive. It was productive for me. And but then I abandoned it. And so it's like, I want that perfect day back, and health and fitness are incredibly important. I want to be around and healthy for a long time, right?
For your boy.
And, for me, my wife, my boy, my family, my daughter, everyone, all right? I want to be strong and healthy. And for me, training is a good way to keep everything firing. Helps my brain out. Yep. And so it's like, okay, that's been the perfect day, is that has to be a part. And plus, interesting enough, every time you train, at least for me, I have way more energy.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. Same with the getting out on the boat. It gives you energy and it gives you creativity. It gives your mind a breather.
This perfect day, I think I'm going to be a little embarrassed doing this podcast because I struggle with it. But I fear with you, you know, this is your baby and how it can be addressed. It is important because your number one investment is your earned income for a long time. You know, compound interest, blah, blah, blah. And compound interest can be important for sure. But it's going to take a long time for that type of residual and passive income usually to replace or substantially subsidize or supplement what you're doing on an earned income basis, taking your skill set and applying that day after day. And so your number one investment is your earned income. And so if you can create your perfect work day, your perfect day going to work, your job, or running your company, how incredible is that? I love it. And so in many ways, by default, I have, we'll talk about the next podcast, right? So we'll do perfect day number two, and then we'll wrap it up on the next podcast. So, but I really hope, this is valuable for people listening, because if you can come up with some routine, and maybe there's some references in the next podcast, maybe you can bring up, Tammy, that might help. In addition to writing down that list, maybe you can leave, or real quick now, what's a good takeaway for people listening on this first Perfect Day podcast? And we'll do Perfect Day number two on the next one. What's a good takeaway for them? What's something that they can do, and something simple that they can apply to try to create their perfect day at the job or perfect day running their company? What are some things you can leave them with?
Well, I definitely want to emphasize the list. And I also want to emphasize that what works for someone else won't necessarily work for you. So when you make the list, recognize that some of the ideas you might have gotten from someone else, and that's okay. Maybe Ken has given you some ideas today and listening to his perfect day, which is great. So you create this massively long list, give yourself a whole week or so to do it. Just keep adding to it until you feel like you've got everything down and you're ready to move to the next step. The next step, I would suggest, it'd be a ranking system on a scale of 0 to 5, 5 being an item that absolutely you have to have. It's super important to you because it fills your bucket, it's your ideal client, you know, whatever it is, but you have to have it. So scale of 0 to 5, 5 being absolutely necessary, 0 not so much. And then from there, you can narrow it down to what can be actually implemented today and what can be implemented into next month or next year, and you start to slowly assimilate items that create your perfect day. It does not happen overnight.
That's great. Good. I got it. I just wrote down my homework. Ranking system, 0 to 5, 5 necessary, what can be implemented today? And so, no, I think that's a great takeaway. So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll do perfect day number two, because I didn't complete my perfect day. I just said the perfect morning of the perfect day.
Yes,
and so may the next one be perfect day, perfect week. And by the way, it's not about me. I'm just using myself as a guinea pig, teasing myself essentially how I struggle with this, but how it can be so powerful for people and they could apply it to their day lives and really enjoy their number one investment, which is earned income. So I think that's it. I'll let you do the great sign off, Tammy. I just want to say, guys, do you have any more questions on this topic or any financial topics that you've heard on previous podcasts, please go to engineerofinance.com. Share this this podcast with others if you think it'll create a lot of value. Share it ones that people that are peers of yours or you look up to that you think that this podcast can make a difference for. And then, yeah, my website, engineerofinance.com, or for the ones that me, it's amazing. I just always like picking up the phone. When I finally want to work with someone, I just want to ask them some off-the-wall questions here and there and see how they respond. And so if you have some questions that you like to ask me, and just instead of doing it via website, you just want to call 775-624-8839. Tammy, I'll let you do the sign-off. And then I look forward to our next podcast where we discuss the perfect day/week continuation of this one.
Part two.
Yeah, part two.
For all of Ken's Engineer of Finance podcast listeners, thank you so much for listening in and tuning in every week. We appreciate you very, very much. And we appreciate all of your shares and feedback and questions that absolutely can fuel this podcast. So thanks for checking us out one more week. And we'll see you next time right here on Ken Green's Engineer of Finance podcast.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.